Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Is it possible that this whole thing was one big misunderstanding? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We get back to the Warriors and our question today, who's having a better late career, Steph Curry or LeBron James? You can go vote. Maggie and Pearl on X, but Pearl, possible this whole thing was a big mix-up. And what I'm talking about is Shedeur Sanders and the now infamous meeting between him and the New York Giants. You know, Brian Daboll will tell anybody who listened, whether it was Todd McShay or Albert Breer, we're going to play you some sound from Albert in a second, how bad the meeting went between Daboll and Shedeur Sanders, okay? It's become like a thing of legend at this point of how bad it was because for so long, people thought the Giants may be interested in Shedeur Sanders. They were clearly doing their due diligence. All the Colorado games they attended, bringing him back around for another meeting and some late meetings pretty late in the process. They seemed interested.
Yeah, by the way, you said that Daboll was telling anybody who listened. The Giants said anybody who was with it, an earshot that they loved Shedeur coming in the draft. Ian Rappaport, they even told Ian Rappaport we're looking at him at 3 overall. So I think it's funny you say that because the Giants were messaging, we love this kid, again and again and again and again. And the fact that that was in the public.
Right.
And then behind the scenes, I guess it was the exact opposite. But I still have trouble believing that's the whole story.
Well, it kind of feels like it did come down to maybe this meeting. Because they went to dinner. We never heard anything that weird happen there. We never heard that anything in like a background check turned up anything. It just all feels like it's about this meeting. And Brian Daboll and Shedeur Sanders just did not see eye to eye on something. So here's Albert Breer. He was talking on, is this EEI, WEI? Explaining how this Shedeur Sanders New York Giants meeting went sideways.
The Giants won, like, so there was they give players an install and there are mistakes intentionally put in the install and he didn't catch him and got called on it and it didn't go well after that. There was another team that he sat down with.
What do you mean it didn't go well after that?
So, like, yeah, like he was pissed that they did that to him.
Okay, I'm sorry. 98.5 the Sports Hub in Boston. So the Giants intentionally put wrong things into the install and that irked Shedeur because he didn't understand that it was wrong. Essentially, they're calling him out for not studying their playbook. More from Breer. Maybe that just said, hey, maybe this just isn't a fit.
Another one was, you know, he throws a bad interception and, you know, like it was a deep throw early in the game. And, you know, he comes back and like, you know, like they go in the meeting, they show the interception and they say, what happened here? Well, you know, I like to get into a rhythm earlier in the game. And, you know, like they get into it over that. And his conclusion is, well, maybe I'm not a fit for you.
And that was a different team, right? That was not necessarily the Giants, but the Giants' infamous meeting was about having something incorrect in the install. Shedeur Sanders didn't catch it, kind of implied that he didn't study. And Shedeur got upset about it. And that ultimately led to them not taking him.
Yeah, it's interesting. It sounds like something out of a movie. They were testing him to see how he'd react by getting something wrong. And at least, I mean, we weren't there. So Shedeur, I'm implying the right way would have been to be like, oh, my bad. I didn't see this. And maybe he could have had the right answer because I think that's a quality to admit your mistakes and not keep on doubling back and trying to defend them. That's how I read that. I'm like, oh, even if Shedeur, if it's a insult on the way he's studying, even if Shador had said, oh my gosh, my bad, I didn't notice it, he could have answered that a different way and maybe not turned off the Giants?
Sure.
Isn't that how you read it? Or
so, now I'm thinking that maybe this thing could have been a little bit, I don't want to say a misunderstanding, but maybe they just sort of both were trying to be kind of alpha here. And Brian Daboll has said he is really tough in these meetings. He's the type of guy who is not coming in, hey, welcome, come and sit down. He really tries to trip these dudes up. Like, he'll have them be on the whiteboard and then have them erase it, then ask about what the assistant equipment manager's name is, and then, you know, name five teammates who are all walk-ons. Now go back onto the board and do this. Like, he's trying to intentionally trip them up. And I think that in some kind, so that can be like, you know, he's clearly trying to do a thing. He's trying to get guys off their game. And it seems like Shador kind of maybe took the bait a little bit.
Yep.
But here's the thing. We generally like it when guys are a little edgy. You know, mm-hmm. quarterback and coach relationship, you know, this is sometimes rewarded when guys are kind of yelling at each other. Look at Bo Nix and Sean Payton on the sidelines at times this year. You know, they kind of go back and forth a little bit or have a little bit of an angsty, edgy relationship. That at times has been seen as a good quality in a quarterback. Like, hey, I care about this also so much that I'm going to stand my ground or whatever it is. I know Shore's at a job interview and trying to be a rookie. But this is not always seen as a negative to come in and have a little edge to
it. Well, in Shador's case, I think it is a negative because I said early in the draft process, the biggest flaw with Shador was when he called out his offense after the loss to Nebraska. It's the ultimate non-quarterback move is to blame others. So I think they probably wanted to test that. Is this kid want to take accountability? And my reading of this interview is he was not so into accountability. The answer would have been, oh, I got this wrong. I'll get it right next time. That's sort of quarterback speak. So it's almost a militaristic position.
Sure.
The opposite, kind of the opposite of what you said, especially in this job interview says, they want the ultimate team guy, a quarterback, a guy who's going to take accountability. You know, the quote-unquote right quarterback answer after a loss is it was 100% on me. Even if you lost 57-51, it was me. I made mistakes. You know,
right.
That's what teams want out of quarterbacks. It's kind of a leadership position. Maybe that stuff is all corny, but I think teams believe it.
Here's the other thing about why I don't know if Daboll is going to end up coming out of this looking amazing here. Shador, I don't think, is in a great spot in Cleveland. You and I have disagreed about this, about whether or not he can actually succeed or even showcase his skills there to go to another team or what's going to happen. But Brian Daboll already has an L with Daniel Jones. I don't know if he was the only one who picked Daniel Jones, but I'm not even saying picked over Saquon Barkley. Y'all decided to give Daniel Jones $40 million. That was a gigantic mistake. Everyone knew it. You passed on what was an all-time quarterback class. Now, this is also Shane, like Joe Shane, the GM, to take Malik Nabers, and Nabers is fine. But now you're sticking your neck out with Jackson Dart. So now you've done that thing where you've traded back into the first round, and I know you think back into the first round means no expectations. The expectation that he's the franchise quarterback. It's not Russell Wilson.
Yes.
It's a first round. Dude, was Kenny Pickett thought of as being a franchise? You're bringing him in
to be
the starter.
Definitely. I feel like franchise quarterback Jackson Dart feels rich to me, but please go ahead.
Well, this is what I'm saying. You've staked yourself in a season where you guys were both on the hot seat, the GM and the coach. Daboll's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, worked at Alabama with great quarterbacks. Josh Allen, obviously, you know, bumped him up a lot when he was the OC in Buffalo. Brian Daboll is not in the clear here. If Shador ends up having a really good career or a better career than Jackson Dart, Daboll's the one who's going to look bad, no?
Well, let me ask you a question, though. First of all, they got Abdul Carter first, so I think that takes some of the heat off. But secondly, what about the other 31 teams that passed on Shador? I mean, it's not like they passed on him at 3 and he went 4. He went 144. That's 141 picks later.
I'll tell you why. Because nobody put their name on it but Daboll. And I'll tell you, some people never
put his name on it.
Well, Todd McShay coming out and saying that Brian Daboll told me the meeting went bad is as close to putting your name on it as possible, right? We know that they're friends. Daboll's the one who's kind of owned it. And to be fair, you might like that. Hey, don't cower and be an anonymous, you know, kind of thing. He did tell these insiders who he knows are going to run to their podcasts. This didn't go well with Shador.
We don't know for sure that was Daboll to Breer. Did Breer ever say that? No, I don't think this is exactly like going into a press conference and ripping the kid. But go ahead. Anyway, so why is
Dable
I just don't think
walked it back. Dable is Let's the put face it that of, way.
So why is how come New Orleans isn't guilty? How come all these other teams? There were six or seven teams that needed quarterbacks. So it's all on the Giants.
I think in this instance it is because the Giants decided to trade up for Jaxon Dart. The New Orleans Saints didn't do that. They stuck and took Tyler Shuck. I think that. And because what you were just talking about, which is how they declared this public love for Shador, that didn't really feel like a smokescreen until at the end they decided to go with Jaxon Dart.
It's just a little funny that they become the face of the team that pass on him when everybody else passed on him through five rounds.
Yeah.
There was obviously the NFL viewed him the same way the Giants did.
Well, not everyone needed a quarterback, though. Like, it was a very obvious need. There appeared to be a fit, and then... You know, and but, also, I think this other part, I don't think anyone thinks that Jaxon Dart's a sure thing.
So, well, I think also a lot of teams could have drafted him. You're in backup territory. There are a lot of quarterbacks who went ahead of Shador. You know, the Cleveland took somebody ahead of him.
No, I know. Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, I think that I was actually wondering, oh, my God, are the Eagles going to take Shador Sanders? Like, there are very few teams. In the fourth round, everybody could have taken a flyer on him as a backup. So I think the NFL spoke out that they were closer to Dable's camp than Shador's camp.
You're right. But again, I'm just wondering, like, was this such a deal breaker? If indeed this was the deal breaker, the details that we got of this meeting didn't go well because Shador's up, you know, got kind of upset because Brian Daboll did a tricky thing and he reacted to it. Is that like a federal case? I mean, that's not the only thing. Clearly, there's a lot that goes into the stew. But there has been much made about this now infamous meeting. And
definitely,
it's only going to get and grow and grow.
But the funny thing is, if they had taken Shador Sanders at number three, that probably would go down as the worst draft pick in NFL history because they overdrafted him by 141 spots.
Well, we wouldn't have known that at the time, though. We just would have said all those mock drafters were right.
I'm just saying that they could have, I would have called Dable and said, you could wait on this guy. And when I say you could wait on him, you could wait 3 days on this guy. Number three.
Take five.
I do think that, by the way, he fell. Just one clarification. He fell in the fifth round because people didn't want all that sizzle as a backup. He could have easily gone where Dylan Gabriel went in the third round, but people were like, I'm not bringing in this circus as a backup. So everyone passed on him as a starter. I think you're right. Dable is going to be the face of this, but why would if Tyler Shuck is bad, which you would expect because he's a second round quarterback, most of them do not hit, then how come people aren't going to call out the Saints? And by the way, Shador could be better than Cam Ward. We have no idea. It's the Titans.
I know, that's EJ's quarterback.
But it's a Titans, EJ. You have to admit, this is not exactly
that's
a recipe
true.
For success.
That's true.
Brian Callahan, is that your man?
Cam is my man.
Cam should be good.
I'm not claiming anyone else on that Titans.
Was this much ado about nothing, EJ, with the infamous now Shador-Brian Daboll meeting?
I think it's something, but it does make me wonder, it goes back to, again, like, who was in Shador's camp? Because it feels like this is something that he should have been ready for. It does sound like, to me, a misunderstanding. And a misunderstanding could easily turn into a beef or turn into an issue and blow up. Because if he's upset that they put something in him to make him look bad, like, he probably wasn't expecting to look bad. He was preparing for something totally different. So my question to him would be, what were you actually expecting in this meeting?
Right, because it does seem like most people knew this was one of Dayball's kind of tricks, tactics. Like, he does like to trip guys up. It's just how he operates
in
these
Knocks. Hard Knocks. He's doing all these questions. He's like, wait a minute, go back to the first play I drew up and drew it again. Like, we know what he does. So, you know, when we go back to, again, like, he didn't have a real agent. He didn't have a real team. Yeah. Like, it felt like he was acting as if he was the number one pick in the draft when clearly he wasn't. He would have needed more work to do, and he didn't do that. And that's frustrating.
The irony is he has a lot of people around him, not the right people for the draft process.
Well, I mean, nobody has ever in the history of college football had more NFL coaches working with him than Shador Sanders. He had like 10 guys on his staff with NFL experience. How come Pat Shurmur didn't call him and say this is happening? Pat Shurmur, he was the Giants coach.
He was.
How come he didn't help him?
I know. It's
that
bizarre.
That didn't end well, by the way. Like, it's funny to me. People are like, oh, yeah, Pat Shurmur, the Giants. I mean, whatever they said publicly, Pat Shurmur it wasn't like the most dramatic of blow-ups of anything, but I was working in New York at the time. They basically showed him the door after 2.5 seasons.
Yeah. I shudder every time I hear his name.
To be honest, if they had kept him, Daniel Jones had some of his best games under him, and then Joe Judge came, and it really all went away. But here, and now Daboll, but I don't know. I'm wondering, it's, you know, now we're kind of set up here. It's like Daboll and Jackson Dart versus Shador. My biggest thing with Shador now, that's one read. My biggest thing with Shador now is, did the message get through? You know?
Yeah, that's a great question.
He says it, you know, it did, but he also is, he's never going to drop the confidence. And I'm not saying he should, but it's like, did that message get through? Like, did you really, are you going to really take accountability, or do you think that the NFL was out to get you, or this was about your dad or something else? Like, do you think you got railroaded, or are you willing to say, I got to change some things?
Excuse this very nerdy analogy, but it feels like Shador is like Thor from Thor 1, where he was expecting everything handed to him. And when he was not prepared for the role, he was stripped of all of the things that make him famous, right? Being number one, being a superstar, being highly regarded. And now he's being sent to what is basically the Oklahoma of America in Thor, Cleveland. And it's like, you're a fourth string guy.
Yep.
And you
got
to now earn your way to being the star you think you are.
Right.
Just like Thor had to earn his way to being Thor again. And it feels like this is basically exactly what's happening with Shador Sanders.
Every great quarterback, I totally agree with that, has an origin story or a humbling experience. Go down the list of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They all either got benched in college or didn't make a college team. Like, I agree. It's not an accident that Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, all these guys had horrible football backstories.
Right.
Tom Brady got benched in college.
Yeah.
He's the greatest of all time. Patrick Mahomes was a three-star. Like, I think Shador needed that. Now, Shador was also not that big of a recruit and went to Jackson State. But when your dad is
he
coach,
only went to Jackson State to go with Deion.
Right. Like, I think EJ's onto something. This connection to Deion has sheltered him from adversity. So now he's got adversity, and like, we'll see if he's got the grit. It's a great question, Maggie. Will he learn from this? I think he might.
Where did Thor have to go? I'm sorry.
Oklahoma. Yeah.
All right.
Oklahoma,
well, that's a football hotbed.
With no power. Yeah. Well, the problem, he wasn't a football player. With no hammer.
Had potential, though.
Yeah, but then Thor got fat by the end, though. He turned it to Embiid.
Harden game 7.
Or Harden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That analogy I understand. I didn't understand any of the other stuff that EJ said.
Yeah. We should catch a movie, Maggie.
Maybe. But, you know, I'm assuming that this set up as the big redemption for Thor.
Right.
We get the, you know, training montage.
Thor had to learn, essentially, humility.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't humble. He was the son of Odin, so therefore he was just supposed to be king and just supposed to be crowned. And then when he wasn't, he had to go back to literally rock bottom.
But by the way, he had an evil brother. Is Shiloh Loki in this situation?
Or maybe Sanders Jr. is Loki. He keeps filming him.
You know, during these terrible moments.
Filming him prank called and filming him doing all this other stuff.
Maybe and let's not forget Shiloh.
As bad as Shador's week has been, Shiloh is the opposite. He is so charming. I saw another interview with him. He's going to get
his top five career out of this. He's always top five safeties of all time.
No, I didn't see that.
Ryan Clark was number two. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, Shiloh has got a lot of personality.
He is not a great football player.
I kind of like Shiloh. You guys don't like, I thought Shiloh was effective. He's crazy out there.
He's effective at getting 15-yard penalties.
Yeah.
After that.
It reminds me of the
Eagles player.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus is now his agent.
I'll bet you Shiloh makes it in the NFL. I think he does, because he's a human missile. He's got all the grit that Shador doesn't have. He will.
Shador's tough. We just don't know if he's going to take accountability, but the dude always gets up.
I'm sorry, did you say Shiloh in the CFL?
I think Shiloh makes it because he's just going to lead with his helmet. You need a guy who's going to get some penalties out there.
Dude, Drew Rosenhaus, it's not David Copperfield. You know, he can't just like magically make him a better player.
No, I show bet. I think Shiloh has an NFL career.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I mean, for an undrafted guy, I think he has five or six years in the NFL, which is an accomplishment for an undrafted guy.
Definitely.
All right. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Shador versus Brian Daboll. Who would you be backing in this situation? What horse are you backing there? Coach Daboll, New York Giants, trading up for Jackson Dart, or do you think Shador gets the final say here? Both could be in totally different cities next year.
Very true.
I wonder if they'd ever reunite. Seems unlikely. 888-710-4ISN. Wow, do we have a lot to do today. We have some fun Aaron Rodgers updates for you. We would never shortchange you on that. We've got some changes going on with the Dallas Cowboys.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
That you need to know about. And some LeBron James sound as well. It's all here for you on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Don't move.
Shador.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, I got into a little social media tiff this weekend.
Oh, I totally missed it. What happened?
I got in a little bit of an argument about Drew Aller, the Penn State quarterback.
Okay.
So... our good friend, Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team, formerly Pro Football Focus, was sending out highlights of Drew Aller and asking the internet what they thought of him as a quarterback.
Okay.
And it was this highlight reel that went everywhere where he is just running around, throwing darts 40 yards downfield.
Yeah.
But there was a lot missing, like the Notre Dame game where he couldn't hit the ocean. So, and I said, like, wait, what kind of highlight reel is this? There's tons
Notre Dame's
missing.
Defense was amazing this year. But yes, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so Drew Aller was super hot and cold. And then EJ told me that there was an insider who had him way at the top of the draft. I don't see it. I think all the quarterbacks who did not come out this year looked at this draft and said, if I'm going to be a top pick, I would have gone out. Like, Cade Klubnik's been around. Drew Aller's been around. Those guys, I believe, both could have gone pro. They didn't go pro because the NFL was not that into him yet. They need another year. So I don't think that there's this idea that Drew Aller is some generational guy who just held back because he wants to play one more year at Penn State under James Franklin. That just doesn't compute with me.
Well, okay, we have the sound, but it still could be a miscalculation from Aller, unless you think the NFL, he put the feelers out, because didn't he say very, very early on, I'm going back to Penn State? Because remember Bo Prabula, who was the backup, who looked pretty good when he got in some spots this season, transferred before the college football playoff started. So I think Drew Aller made it very clear what he was doing. We have got the sound for you. This is Dane Brugler from The Athletic talking about Penn State quarterback Drew Aller.
It's a
pretty exciting quarterback class next year. I don't, there's not like a Caleb Williams or a Drake May where it's like, oh, there's an obvious number one guy, but there's a lot of talent at quarterback. And it's funny, Drew Aller is one of them from Penn State. If Drew Aller would have declared, he probably would have been the number two pick to his hometown Browns.
That's ridiculous to me. If he thought he was going to be number two pick, why would he have not gone in the draft?
Well, it turns out the Browns weren't making that pick at two. Turns out they never were. Maybe they would have for Drew Aller. They traded out of it, obviously, and traded Travis Hunter to the Jags. But I guess that's just like,
yeah, I'd be surprised. Because we all watched Drew Aller, and he's a Penn State fan. And he's so hot and cold. I just don't think, and his numbers aren't that great. He just doesn't feel like a clear number two overall. Maybe he's like Cam Ward and takes off in his senior year, but I was surprised to hear that piece of analysis.
Yeah, I didn't think of him as the second best quarterback in college this year. I wasn't thinking that. A lot of people, I think, believe that their college football playoff path was a little, I would say, easy. Nothing is easy. But the fact that you got SMU at home, and then you got to go play Boise, and then you lost to Notre Dame.
Yeah. And he didn't really do that much in those games. He was good, but not great. I think part of it is he was the number one overall recruit. He's big. He's tall. He's like kind of the classic NFL stereotype quarterback because he's 6'4".
I do want to give him a little bit of a, you know.
Oh, wow.
Let's do the team building thing. He didn't have anyone to throw passes to besides Ty Warren, who obviously was a first-round pick, so he's a huge talent. But that was the major, major theme with Penn State this year is they had no receivers. I mean, he only has one game last year where he threw for over 300 yards. In college football, guys roll out of bed and throw for 300 yards most cases.
I don't really understand what you're saying.
but James this is two years in a row where he hasn't thrown for that much. Yeah. I guess possibly a good excuse. I just think that we're squinting now to see these quarterbacks as elite. But honestly, if this is true, why would Drew Aller not have gone? He went to Penn State. It's pretty close to Cleveland. He's from
his hometown,
Medina, Ohio. Why not? I think that if he thought he was going to go that high, and this was a weak quarterback class.
This was the year to do it.
Yeah, I was wondering. I think Klubnik can double check me. He was eligible too. Cade Klubnik, the Clemson quarterback. I'm like, well, why isn't he going in? He must not be getting good ideas from the NFL because this was not a great draft. The fact that we only had Cam Ward going high in the first round means, hey, they did not view this quarterback class favorably.
Wait, this whole thing started though with you saying you got into internet back and forth.
No, I was mad at Palazzolo for tweeting out this. I'm like, dude, you got to show the bad games too. He is not that quarterback that you're seeing in this highlight reel.
So now, does this mean we can't have Steve on the show anymore? Like, how bad did this get online?
No, actually, it was the replies. Steve actually said, Steve put out the question, what do you think of this guy? He put out a completely neutral tweet.
Yeah.
And I said, I think he's good, but I think the highlights you're showing are for YouTube scouts and not NFL teams.
A little biased.
Strike you from the record.
Yes. Yeah.
Roloff wants to see the lowlights.
No, I mean, listen. I'm as big a YouTube scout as anybody, but I have a general draft take, and tell me if you guys agree. I'm finding it annoying that when the pick is made, every guy is the best guy for that team and everybody's going to be a superstar. Why don't they add more negativity into the first round coverage of the NFL draft? It feels like a promotion, an ad.
Mm.
I just think that it's 2025. Can we stop with this guy is going to be amazing? Can anybody call out the bus or at least try?
Well, it's funny because that's why I liked watching Bill Belichick last year on the Pat McAfee show simulcast because he was actually saying what he thinks. The problem was he was really picking at Drake May, who looks like he's probably going to be in 100 Pro Bowls coming up soon.
But I was watching the fourth round, the second day, and there were guys. Kuiper was like, oh my gosh, this fifth round pick, he is fast, he is strong, they have got a superstar winner here. And most fourth round picks do nothing, but according to the draft, they're all going to be great.
I noticed that too. Like the comp player was like a Pro Bowler. I'm like, how is the guy in the fourth round then? He's Aaron Donald and he's with pick 194.
It's a steal, Bogus.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's called work in the draft.
It feels like we've evolved to the point where I think the analysts have to take a shot and say, you know what? I think this is a bad pick. Kuiper famously did it in, what year was that, 85 or something? He came after the Colts, but then the NFL came down so hard on him that nobody else has done it since.
Mm.
Like, I want to see this guy stinks. I would like to see more of that.
Well, maybe the NFL shouldn't be so heavy-handed.
And I guess they feel like it's these guys' big moments when they get drafted, so, like, you know, do you want their draft moment to be, this guy's going to be a bust. I agree with Perloff, by the way. I would be ruthless.
You know what bothers me about that?
Mel Kiper, in a way.
This is the guy's moment thing, is when a guy has been, like, accused of serious things, right? This happened with Jameis Winston when he went number one on him. People are like, why are they asking questions about this? It's ruining his moments. Like, well, he found himself in this terrible situation.
Brandon Miller a couple years ago. That was a huge deal in the NBA.
Oh, that was a huge one. Remember, people went after Malika Andrews like she was,
the perfect example.
The biggest villain in the world because she was simply stating the facts. It's like, how dare you rain on this guy's moment? It's like, well, he may have ruined somebody's life, so I don't know what you want to do here.
I would argue, too, those guys already have $10 million in the bank, so they don't need the moment as bad as they do now in the NIL era. I know that nobody wants to hear that, but as bad as things are with Shador, the guy has a Rolls Royce and $25 million in the bank.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
NBA, by the way, too, is because it's much more speculative. These guys are 19 years old. EJ, would you agree that there is a place where negativity really belongs? I'd like to hear, this is not a good pick.
Yeah, you don't hear it enough. I do feel like, I think they do a little bit of a better job being like, their favorite word is, this guy's a project. Or this guy
2 years
is 2 years
away from being 2 years away.
Right. Yes,
like
That's your eye to be
euphemism,
like, this isn't probably a great pick. Like, that's how they get it to you. But I think the public, I agree with Perloff, like, the public is ready for, like, honest assessment. Like, because they know. Like, I don't know how many teams, I mean, I'm a Knicks fan, how many terrible drafts have we had over the course of our years?
Frank Ntilikina.
Kevin Knox.
like, fans are ready to talk about how bad they feel like their picks are. So, I don't know why they feel like the NFL or the NBA feels like they have to protect the fans from them, from what they already feel. It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't remember. Was the panel or any panel negative on the Falcons trading? Not even for who they traded for, but the price they paid for that pick?
I didn't see that.
Nobody in the moment was like, what are they?
People were praising the Rams.
Yeah, and a lot of them liked the Pierce. They were like, Pierce, like that, like the Falcons really need edge rushers, which they do, but like they paid
they paid more than the Giants did for Jackson Dart.
$1 billion basically to do it.
Right, but meanwhile, the issue is you have social media. Everybody's killing Atlanta.
Right.
So there's two conversations going on, one on TV and another on the internet.
Twitter was not nice.
No.
Because it's usually so welcoming there.
But it was warranted in that situation.
Fair. Let's get to headlines. Spokes, what's going on?
Not sure how John Halliburton handled this, wherever he was watching game one in Cleveland.
I forgot about that guy already.
Thou art banished.
But the actual Pacers celebrating a 121-112 surprise win over the Cavs in that game one. It's Cleveland's first loss this postseason. Indy started well, but found itself down one in the fourth. Then went on a 15-4 run to get the W. Head coach Rick Carlisle liking his team's mindset.
The key word is aggression, and we got to be in attack mode to have a chance to beat this team. And so, in those situations, we just encourage our guys to play free and let it ride.
All five of his starters scored at least 13 points, led by 23 from Andrew Nembhard, 22 from Tyrese Halliburton, who also had 13 assists. The Cavs only 9 for 38 from 3, including a 1 of 11 from Donovan Mitchell.
Is that bad?
Wait, is this the time when I can finally bring up the Kenny Atkinson resume? The playing resume? He's the head coach of the Cavs. We were talking about Rick Carlisle kind of, coach circles around him a little bit last night. I guarantee you've never heard of any of these places Kenny Atkinson has played.
Hit us.
Started with the Wichita Falls Texans.
Kansas, sure.
You've heard of the. You've never heard of the team.
Wichita Falls is in Texas?
It is in Texas.
Yeah, it's the town where the last picture show happened. Oh, I know, so it's a huge Larry McMurtry fan. So anyway, it's not.
Just Wichita is in Kansas.
Yeah, Wichita Falls is where that movie happened. Okay.
Yeah, Mandy, you might want to sit this whole thing out. The Long Island Surf.
Mexico City.
There's a team called the Long Island Surf. That doesn't exist
in
anymore.
In 1991, there was.
I never heard of them.
CBA?
Okay.
Sure. and then we get into the European. Basketball. So that was in the U.S. And now we go
just
overseas.
Two stops in the CBA? Oh, Kenny.
Multiple. Vino de Toro Zamora. Baloncesto Salmanaca.
Can you give us the countries? Or are you just
Valencia. Valencia, the Spain. Pasta Baronia Napoli.
I've heard of pasta, of course. Penne.
Your Italian accent is beautiful, by the way. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm delicate like that.
That sounds like Germany.
FC Mulhouse Basket.
That's a soccer club.
This sounds like Germany, too.
And I'll just... my favorite one is a team called Real Canoe.
C-A-N-U?
No, C-A-N-O-E. It's actually an aquatic club. It's like a yacht club.
Like a rowing club?
Yeah, kind of. It's like a water sports kind of place, and it's called...
And they had a basketball team?
So you do
Real
know it.
Canoe. I looked so that one up.
Okay. That's the only one. And where is
Not
it?
Not all of them have, like, links that I could even...
Are you on Wikipedia?
Where is Real Canoe?
Real Canoe. It's like he was playing for Real Canoe in Madrid.
Canary Islands.
Oh. You know what their big rival was? Fake Canoe.
Just like Real Pontoon Boat.
Yeah, the other one, Real Kayak.
He played for a team called the Demon Astronauts.
Oh, my goodness.
Why are we talking about this more? Why is nobody talking about how he played for the Demon Astronauts in Amsterdam?
That's probably
why is no one talking about it, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, let's all do our jobs here.
2 minutes left in a really close game, a crucial division. And Maggie is tweeting out, can we talk about Kenny Atkinson's career? Or are we going to, is everyone going to ignore the elephant in the room here?
Wait. Real Canoe.
I kind of like astronauts as a team name, though. How many astronauts do we have?
Oh, Houston.
What about Demon Astronauts? The Demon Astronauts. That's
a team. I was 3 years old when I learned that Houston Astros are short for astronauts. I didn't think about that.
Actually, I don't even know that. I assumed.
Guys, keep the focus on Real Canoe. Because also, think about naming a basketball team. The canoe is the least intimidating boat.
I don't know if it's named after a boat, though.
Dude, look it up. Real Canoe. I'll spare you.
You think the kayak is more intimidating than a canoe?
Kayak you can do like on rapids and stuff.
Mm-mm. I would say the canoe is not
canoe
the least
scares
intimidating.
Me.
A canoe scares me.
Okay, like more than a raft?
Like a paddle boat or, there's many less intimidating boats.
I like kayaks.
You can't just sit and chill on a canoe. You got to actually paddle.
I can attack the hell of the kayak.
All right, back to Bogish.
By the way, you know there's a NBA, former NBA Finals MVP once coached a Long Island Surf.
Finals MVP?
Finals MVP, no.
You said Finals
MVP. In the 80s.
Ooh. Cedric Maxwell?
Yeah. He went 14-13 in 1996 as a head coach of the Long Island Surf. In the USBL was the league.
The hell is the USBL?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
They used to play games in Elm Court in Queens. I remember I used to have practice, and then after practice, they'd get up. They'd say, get off the court. The old guys got to play. And it'd be like all these like journeyman guys. It was like a 7'7" like guy from, like, I think he was from China, who was playing. Guy was the worst player I've ever seen. But he was 7'7", so they let him play.
What team are you talking about right now? The Long Island Surf?
Long Island Surf.
I thought you hadn't heard of them 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I'm saying a different USBL team.
Oh, okay. I don't know
what this team was called.
If you're 7'7", even if you're the world's worst basketball player, you can't be like the world's best accountant. Like, it'd just be so hard to live in the world and not be a basketball player.
How do we not know about the 7'7" Chinese guy? I've never heard of this guy.
I was only 15, 16, so maybe he wasn't 7'7", but he looked like he was 7'7".
Any chance that this guy was Yao Ming?
He was definitely not Yao Ming.
Was it George Murison?
I don't know. It was not Wang Jiji either. I know that. I know him.
Huh.
Bogue, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just felt like Real Canoe deserved a moment.
And I'm now way too busy learning the history of Real Canoe, which began in 1928.
What country is it in? Sorry,
it's in Spain.
Spain.
Yes. Madrid, you said, right?
Yeah.
It's been around since 1928?
Does Madrid have a lot of places to go canoeing?
The active departments of Real Canoe, according to Wikipedia, they've got diving, they've got synchronized swimming, regular swimming, water polo. Guys, it's like a swim club.
Yeah. I'm sure they're not otters. It first offered swimming, and it has added all those other things since. But in 1928, after several years of negotiations, they contacted a Canadian canoe distributor who used a word on their packaging, canoe. Thus, a club dedicated to canoeing, mountaineering, and skiing was created.
Oh my God, I also found the guy. He was 7'9".
Wow.
Sun Ming Ming. He played for the Dodge City Legend and the Maryland Nighthawks of the USBL. I remember they used to play at the gym I was playing at.
Wow.
How tall was he? 7'9".
He was gigantic. He was the largest person I've ever seen.
How long did he live?
He's still alive.
Really?
We're not going to kill him off. Yeah.
He's still good.
41 years old.
Had to have been 180 pounds.
No, but I'm just saying, generally don't, unfortunately, don't have really long lives.
Yeah,
no,
he was 370 pounds.
Damn.
There's a kid right now who's gigantically big, right?
Yeah.
Florida, right? The French guy. We've done some stuff on
him. He's like 7'1", and he's like going behind the back, playing.
No, he's
those
like, no, isn't he 7'7" or something?
Oh, yeah, I think, you're talking about that kid. There's another kid who's like 15, yeah. Who's like 7'2".
There was a prospect who was from India, I thought, who was huge, too.
Hossein Boular?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Played for the Kings, I think, for a little bit, right?
I think so, yeah. If not for Stockton Kings. But yeah, I remember Hossein Boular. He played at New Mexico State.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
Solid contribution.
Olivier Rieu's committed to Florida.
Who was that?
He's 7'9".
One more time, please.
He's famous. We've got Olivier Rieu.
Your face is the best.
Olivier Rieu.
Fell off at a French restaurant.
My daughter's studying French, and I have been quizzing her, so I'm pretty good at French right now.
Oh, yeah?
She must be failing.
Right now.
Another thing to apologize to
that's
Wendy
how,
for.
That's what you say it and try and make
I don't want
French.
To, because I know what it'll look like.
You guys know this guy. We've talked about him.
We have talked
about him. Biggest guy in the history of the world.
Yeah.
How do you not dominate when you're seven? How does Sun Ming not make the NBA?
I couldn't believe it. Well, it was very clear as soon as I watched him play. I was like, oh, that's why he's not in the NBA. It was like.
Hey, he's got bricks for hands.
Yeah, he couldn't catch. Like, it was like Kwame Brown. No post moves to put to memory.
Dang. All you had to do was stand there and plunk the ball into the basket.
Not if you can't catch the ball.
Or run the other 94 feet.
I feel like if you're 7'9", you have no excuse.
Would you rather be, we did this on Friday.
7'9" or 5 feet tall?
Yeah, exactly. Would you rather be 7'9" or would you rather be 4'10"?
4'10". Give me 7'9".
Yeah, tough. 4'10 is tough.
I just don't think
okay,
I'm
5
getting
foot.
Any,
Kevin Hart?
I don't think I'm getting Kevin any women Hart. If I'm 5 feet tall.
Yeah, that's rough.
You think you're getting somebody if you're 7'9"?
Yeah. I mean,
she's got
a type. Basketball players.
Sun Ming Ming might not have made the NBA, but he slayed for the Long Island Surf.
He married his wife is Zhu Yan, who is 6'2". They are recognized by Guinness World Records as the tallest living married couple with a combined height of 13 feet 10 inches.
Jeez.
He found love. I don't know who, but 5 foot people.
Plenty of 5 foot people find love.
With other 5 foot people.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, imagine you go to a hotel room with that couple. Like, you have to find a very long bed.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
No, I'm just saying it's hard to be 7'9". I think you guys are, I think 5 feet. 7'9" yeah. Stinks.
Also, there's so many women who are so short. Like, right. You could find somebody in your, that you're seeing eye to eye with. You're going to find, how many women are 6'2"? Not that many. 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, and she's still 2 feet shorter than me.
No. Anyway, Bogus, thank you. Sorry to derail that with Real Canoe. We do have Oz.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible.
If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some really exciting hockey calls for you, so we will get that to you in just a moment. It is the Maggie and Perloff Show. Got an update for you on the most interesting man in football next. So glad you asked. Welcome back to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Well, this was a surprise, Perl. Star-studded Kentucky Derby.
Yep.
A little muddy.
Oh, my God. Really cool looking, but probably wasn't fun to race.
Congrats to Sovereign. Yep. Won the Kentucky Derby, beating out journalism by a nose or two. But Aaron Rodgers was at the Kentucky Derby. This is not new. He's done this before, but this was unusual. Wearing a wedding ring. Aaron Rodgers was seen, I think, at the gala the night before the Derby, wearing a wedding ring. Didn't have a woman on his arm any of the red carpet stuff.
Doing some research here. Yeah. It was a ring.
Wearing a ring.
You're assuming it's a wedding ring.
Okay, well, he's wearing it on his left hand on his ring finger.
Yeah, so that guarantees it's a wedding ring? I'm actually asking you.
Yes, the left one goes to your heart. That's supposed to be why you wear it.
No, I know, but yeah. So does he absolutely know that? So you're convinced he's married then?
I think everybody knows that.
No, yeah, but I think that maybe he just happens to be wearing a ring then. I think it's possible he's not married.
Well, it's possible he's not married. We haven't heard that he's married. Now, we know he was dating Brittany with an eye.
Yeah.
We also know that he did say McAfee, the last appearance he made, he was talking about the Steelers and why he hasn't made a decision yet on where he's going to play next year. And he said he is in a committed, serious relationship. We have not seen this woman. There's no soft launch here. Like, there's no pictures of them, as far as I can tell. And to be showing up wearing a wedding ring is certainly, to be wearing a ring on your wedding ring finger is certainly going to raise some eyebrows. You think this was a mistake?
Well, possibly. The only authority in sports, TMZ, said that they weren't sure if it's a wedding ring. They've reached out to Rodgers, have not heard back. So this is clearly in their purview. They will figure it out before anybody. The fact that they can't get a picture of Brittany is really disturbing. Do we actually know this woman?
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
If it is indeed still Brittany with an eye, which we determined, a Brittany with an eye is out of the league of most of the men on the show.
Big shout out to all the women.
Just a name. You're not saying this specific Brittany. You're saying any Brittany with an eye is.
Yeah, we covered this one day when you were gone. That Brittany with an eye is just beyond intimidating to most men.
Yeah, no, I couldn't land a Brittany with an eye.
I said, you don't know me.
Yeah, and I do know a Brittany with an eye, and she definitely, you guys couldn't handle her. She's just too cool.
That's
married a finance
mama.
Guy. Like, it's just, it's a different world.
That's the problem, though, is that these cool chicks are getting with Aaron Rodgers and finance bros.
I know, isn't it? The world's just an unfair place.
Is Brittany a cool name, though? Like, it's kind of like a Britney Spears.
Well, but she's not with an eye.
Oh, the eye changed everything. I missed this whole conversation.
You did miss it. I didn't know this was a thing, but I was like, oh, man, Brittany with an eye. Like, the one I know is amazing. She's so awesome. She got married at a castle in Scotland. Like, really, really cool chick forever. I've known her for a ton of time. And you guys all informed me that squares.
Yep.
Like, so I would think Brittany is a hot but vacuous girl generally, right? Like, Brittany is like...
I
don't know what vacuous means, but I will agree.
It's like, and the winner of the Nobel Prize is Brittany something. That's not going to happen, right?
You judge people by their names. I mean, we are all judging Britneys with an eye, making them awesome and really cool. I don't know about vacuous.
Welcome to the Supreme Court. Brittany, no, that's just not happening. Like Sonia, that is a Supreme Court name, not Brittany.
A little more serious, you're saying. So.
Yeah. I mean... I don't know. Maybe this would be Like, I just think there are certain names that lend themselves to, I'll just say it, hot girls, and there are certain names that don't.
Yeah, but it's
funny
because
I live kind of a quiet life.
The parents, when you're naming somebody, like, do you know you're naming your daughter and it's like a hot girl name? You name two daughters. You have experience here. And your daughters are beautiful. I just don't know if you and Sarah were thinking about that.
But I do think families are like, okay, we're having a daughter. Maybe someday she'll be, I don't know, invent a tech company or be on the Supreme Court. Let's name her Brittany. No, that's not going to happen. It's going to be more like Rachel. This is a fact, Maggie. I'm sorry. That's the reality of the situation. Brittany is Britney Spears.
I was thinking that one name I think that you could name your daughter, and I think there's like immediately kind of this intrigue around her, is the name Natasha.
Mm.
Yeah, I got Manny's attention with Natasha.
I kind of zoned out right there, but I heard Natasha and I reeled me right back in.
Ooh, do Americans name their kids Natasha? That's a name now?
Yeah. Tasha.
Yeah.
I think immediately you're like, oh, Natasha. I'm kind of assuming she's really beautiful.
Bianca's usually
Bianca, Gigi.
Fine, usually.
Yeah.
But these are not American names, though. I mean, these are...
Well, I mean, everything's up for grabs now, Pearl.
True.
Yeah.
Don't limit yourself.
But I mean, okay. Yeah, generally, though, when I grew up, everyone was Jennifer or Jill.
Yeah, Jessica.
Yeah.
Anyway, Aaron Rodgers had a ring on his wedding finger. His ring on his wedding ring finger? Yeah, sure. What does it mean? Who knows?
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Tyson Acha here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.